You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
You know, many times we feel upset. Have you had a moment like that? It doesn't matter how you feel or what your circumstances look like. When you have the knowledge, the truth, that if God is for you, who can be against you? Your confession and what you will say about your situation will change. If we are truly 80% Christians in this nation that believe with all their hearts that God is for us and not against us, our confession should be different. You know, many of the challenges that people face daily are tongue problems, tongue challenges. If I had just not said that, if I had just not commented on that, the situation would have been better. And I was listening to the news, listening to some people that I'm seeing, and I'm thinking the majority of the problems would have been solved if people were just conscious of the words they were saying. Romans 8 verse 31 says, "What then shall we say? What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What shall we say about the economy? What shall we say about what's going on in the world? What shall we say about what's going on in our families? What shall we say then about my work, about my future, about my children? If I know that God is for me and not against me." The words that you speak should align with the future that you desire. Does the words that you speak align with the future that you desire? What is it that you desire? What is it that you desire? If you are still complaining, if you are still murmuring, if you are still holding on to the confession of fear and anxiety and uncertainty and worry, how will your situation change? If that is what you are confessing, why are you complaining? Can I have a amen or a ayna? Psalm 141 verse 3 says, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Can I say something? Jesus Christ believes what you say is important. What you say in your situation, your circumstances is important. In the book of Joel, we see, "Let the weak say, I'm strong. If you're feeling sick, say, I'm healed. If you feel you've got no hope, say, I know there's hope because my hope is in Christ Jesus." Start to declare the desired result. Anybody can murmur and complain. Anybody can point the finger. The words that you speak determine the life that you will enjoy. A matter of fact, your life can never rise above your confession. If you are always saying, "My children are always naughty, they are always naughty, they are always naughty," why are you complaining about your naughty children if that's all you've got to say about them? Am I talking to the right people here this morning? We have to think before we say things. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, "So above all, guard the affections of your heart." When people say things to you, guard your heart. That feeling of being upset, angry, guard your heart. For they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. Verse 24, "Avoid dishonest speech and pretentious words. Be free from using perverse words, no matter what." Turn to the person next to you and say, "That's some good advice." He says, keep corrupt words from your lips. Guard your heart above all things. If you want to live a life as an overcomer and your life to go from where it's right now to where you want it to be, you're going to have to start to manage your mind and what you are thinking and meditating upon. Some of you are overthinking negative things. And when you are thinking about negative things, you're going to start to say negative things, and then you will start to do negative things. Oh, let that person just cut in front of me again. I will show him. I will tell him. You know, sometimes I'm driving with worship in my car, just focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And suddenly you see somebody cut here in front of you. And you think, what happened here? And then when you're like, what's happening? They show you the finger of unforgiveness. You know what's the finger of unforgiveness? I don't think you're that holy that you don't know what that is. But as a pastor, then I have to think about the right things. When I give them the fivefold ministry, no. Say, bless you. Bless you. Amen? Because if I start thinking, oh, next time you show that finger of unforgiveness, I'll break it off and you'll have to come to the prayer line for me to pray for you. No. If we start thinking negative things, we start saying negative things, then we want to do negative things. You don't just pitch up and drive in front of somebody. You don't pitch up and do something rude. You first think it, then you say it, then you start doing it. So if you want a calm life around you, start managing what's going on the inside. James 1 verse 19 says, but let every man be quick in hearing. Quick in hearing. You've got two ears to listen twice as much. Slow in words, slow to get angry. You know what we are today? We are quick in getting angry, quick to speak our mind, and very bad in listening. But the Bible says, be quick to listen. Listen to understand. Hear what the person is saying. Slow to speak. Think about it. Because remember, there's power in your tongue. Life and death is in your tongue. As a Christian, as a representative of heaven, we should be building up and not breaking down. We should be encouraging, bringing hope and not despair. Can I tell you something? Somebody might say something to you that's wrong, but the way that you respond can also be wrong. As a matter of fact, the way that you respond can be worse. That's why, listen. Don't be quick to speak and don't get angry very quickly. Where's the hotheads in the house? Hotheads, come on. Well, I grew up in a family with hotheads. I can identify hotheads very quickly. They're very sensitive, touchy. Want to speak their minds immediately. So I want to ask you, what are you thinking about the future? What are you thinking about the future? Because we all want to quote Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts you have towards me, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give me a future and a hope. That's God's thoughts towards you. But what are your thoughts about the future? Your thoughts about your career? Thoughts about your marriage? Thoughts about your children? Because what happens in your mind will happen in time. When heaven is in your heart, heaven can be in your mind. When heaven is in your heart, even when you're in a situation where there's chaos, you can pray heaven into that situation. Can you see the need for Christians to speak light and life? Even Jesus' disciples, when they said, teach us how to pray to change our situation and circumstances, he says, Start by declaring heaven's atmosphere into your situation. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. You're on earth as it is in heaven. We're not in heaven yet. We are on earth. But we have an assignment to declare heaven's atmosphere. Not speak all the devilish things that's going on around us, what we are seeing, what we are hearing, what people are talking about, but coming in agreement with heaven. What are the words that you are speaking as a Christian? You know, sometimes the words that we say, we are so quick to speak. We don't realize sometimes when we are so quick to speak, we are confessing our own weaknesses. Say, Ena. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So sometimes when people are so, just relax, keep your peace. They're just busy confessing their own weakness. What's going on in their own heart? Don't you now respond and start confessing your own weakness? Am I talking to the right people here? Let me rephrase it for you quickly. Vain and idle words originate from a vain and idle heart. But we say, my heart belongs to Jesus. Jesus, take the rightful place. But the scripture says, vain and idle words come from a vain and idle heart. So if you want to live as an overcomer, you're going to have to start to manage your mind and see what's going on in this heart. Do you know how you know what's going on in this heart? You read this book. When you read this book, the Bible says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, with the ability to discern the intents and the thoughts of your heart. So as you read this, you think you're reading it, but it's reading you. And it will show you, there's a bit of bitterness. It will show you, there's a bit of unforgiveness. Am I talking to the right people here? The words that you speak can steer your life in the right direction. It's like a rudder. Many people don't think before they speak. If one thing, as the church, as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should think before we say anything. Turn to the person next to you and say, next time, just think before you say anything. So before you're going to say something, just pause. Just press pause and say, okay, what I'm going to say now, these words are going to echo for eternity. Not just the person that I'm saying it to is going to hear it, but the Lord Jesus in heaven is also going to hear it. Before we say anything, we should think Ephesians 4 verse 29. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Ask yourself, when you talk to people, is your words imparting grace, unmerited favor? Because this is the instruction according to the word of God. Can I say something? Sometimes the best joke at the wrong time is still a bad joke. Something that you say as a joke and you're the only person laughing is not a joke. It's you trying to be funny, but it's hurting people. It's not edifying people. Sometimes you have to be sensitive. Because if somebody has had a bad day or going through a crisis and you don't know about it, your joke can hurt them and offend them. I was sharing a little bit earlier about my parents, but one of the things my parents taught me, they said, if you cannot say something good about somebody, then rather keep quiet. If you cannot say something good about somebody, just keep quiet. This is a challenge. Let no corrupt word proceed out of our mouths. You know, there's no such thing as neutral communication. Your words are either building up or breaking down. It's either encouraging people or discouraging people. You can correct people without breaking them down. But sometimes when we bring correction, we want to humiliate somebody and push them down and push their nose into it. You must remember that by your words you will be justified and by your words you will be condemned. That's what the Word of God says. Jesus is the Word. So when it comes to words, it's very serious for Him. You hurting, saying something that is hurting, can derail somebody completely. Before you say something, examine what you're going to say and what you want to say. When I think about Israel, a type of the church, they send their very best into the promised land. I mean, there's 12 leaders that have seen 10 miracles, unusual miracles, seen what God has done, seen how God had favored them that they could plunder the Egyptians. And now they have to go into the promised land. And the negative report, one person speaking and 10 agreeing, 9 agreeing with him, they are too strong for us. They're too strong. Kept a whole generation out of the promised land. Is what you are saying in line with God's word? God said, there's the promised land. Go spy it out and go and possess it. They were not lying. Turn to the person next to you and say, they were not lying. They were big. The giants were big. The walls were high. But God was bigger than all of that. Faith is not denying what you are facing. Faith is not denying it. In every situation that you face, if you believe God is for you and not against you, be careful what you say, because we will give account for every idle word that we speak before God one day. Every word, we will give account. Two men spoke words of faith and encouraged people to go in, but two came and discouraged them, and they never went in. So, let me give you the good news. The fact that you are speaking and declaring the right things does not mean you will not face giants. I'm not telling you that if you're going to change your confession, you're not going to face giants. You're going to still face giants. But the difference is, when you start to declare what God's word is saying, you're not focusing on the problem, you're focusing on the problem solver. You're focusing on the promise that God has given you. That's the difference. We don't live in denial as Christians. When my ankle is broken, I don't say, my ankle is not broken, my ankle is not broken. No, no, no. My ankle is broken, it's broken. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And we declare the solution. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So he says, think about these good things and then declare and say it. Knowing the truth does not mean problems will disappear. Saying and declaring the solution, you're still going to have to stand in faith. Here's the difference. Faith does not say there's no Red Sea. Faith doesn't say there's no Egyptians. Faith says, the enemy you see today, you will never see them again. That speaks the answer, the solution. Amen. The Shulamite whose son died. Faith doesn't say there's not a problem here. When she encountered the prophet said to her, listen here, is your husband okay? Are you okay? Is your son okay? Okay. And she said, it is well. Faith says, it is well. Faith says, there's an answer on its way. Amen. In Daniel 3, go read Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Faith doesn't say, there's no fire. A matter of fact, faith acknowledges they're heating up the furnace 7 times more. Who of you have been in a furnace 7 times warmer than normal? Let me just see your hand. Okay. So faith doesn't say there's no fire. Faith doesn't say it's not heated up 7 times more. Faith says our God is able to deliver us. But King, know this. Whether our God delivers us or not, He is still our deliverer. Faith focuses not on the problem. Faith focuses upon the problem solver. And He declares what the problem solver is saying about the situation and not that. Amen? You can see something. You can see that there's trouble. You can see there's a difficulty. But look towards the problem solver. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, get heaven's opinion and start to declare that over the situation. A man of faith can have pain in his body, but he can thank God. A man of faith might not be at a place where his cup is running over, but he will confess, my cup is being filled up to a place where it's going to overflow. Amen? Abraham confessed and gave thanks to God, counting him faithful, that he who had made the promise is faithful even to do it. Giving glory to God and giving thanks to God. That's a man and woman of faith. In the situation that you are facing, what are you confessing? What are you declaring? Turn to the person that you say, your confession will give you possession. So now many people think, I'm just going to start to confess and my problems are going to disappear. David on the battlefield, the giant and David said exactly the same thing. They said exactly the same thing. The giant shouted at David and said, today I'm going to kill you and I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds of the air. From a natural point of view, the giant was bigger, stronger, more experienced, more dangerous. David said exactly the same as what the giant said. He said, no. You've not come against me. You've come against my God. I'm the one who's going to kill you today. And I'll be feeding your flesh to the birds of the air. What was the difference? This is the difference. Goliath was in the realm of defeat and failure, whereas David was in the realm of victory in Christ Jesus. When he confessed what he said, the giant confessed out of anger, out of bitterness, out of hatred. David, when he confessed, his confession had his heart's full agreement. When you are confessing it, are you believing it? Believing what God has promised, that He is faithful and just to do what He has promised. When you do that, your confession starts to build the road, which allows faith to carry its heavy cargo. So this heavy thing that you are trusting God to move from year to year, that confession builds the road for that heavy cargo to move from year to year. And David didn't make it personal. What's come against you is not personal, it's come against your God. David said, listen to me, this is how it's going to work. You've not come against me, you've come against my God. And he confessed, and that confession gave him possession. He kept his solid front, he didn't back off. So I want to encourage you, will you keep your confession? When you know God has given you a promise, hold on to it and confess it. Confess it, confess it. I'm closing with this. I've said it many times, you know it. My daughter, Hope, her name is Hope because of one scripture that the Lord gave. When they said we couldn't have children, the Lord gave me Romans, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, and he became the father of many nations, became the father of hope. That one scripture is the only thing that I prayed, is the only thing that I held on and that I declared. Belinda knew about it. We trusted God. Many people were praying with us. And there's hope today. One scripture, one word, hold on to it and confess it and declare it, and you'll see what the Lord will do in you and through you. Amen. I'm closing with this, Colossians 3 verse 1. If then you have a new life with Christ Jesus, if then you're in the realm of victory in Christ Jesus, give your attention to the things of heaven. Start thinking and getting heaven's opinion about your situation. Give your attention to the things of heaven, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Keep your mind on the higher things, not on the things of the earth. He says, all these things happening around you. Keep your focus on the higher things. Get heaven's opinion and declare that into your situation. For your life on earth is done, and you have a secret life with Christ in God. Family, that's the secret. You have Jesus Christ on the inside of you. If God is in you, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If God is for you, who can be against you? So it's that word of God, this word of God, when it starts dominating your heart, dominating your mind, it will also start dominating your mouth, the words that you say. When you speak the right things, when you speak the right things, you are training yourself to do the right things. Some of you, if you want kindness in your life, start speaking words of kindness. Can I have an amen? Amen? If you want more kindness in your life, start speaking more kindness. You be the one to declare it. You be the one to be the one with a difference. When everybody is nasty and negative, you come with that rich treasure and start to declare the word of God in your situation. God's word must be the foundation for our lives. Make God's word the standard for your life. Can I say, if you are sick, Isaiah says, by his stripes you are healed. If you need deliverance and you're in bondage, John says, him who the Son has set free is free indeed. Start to declare that freedom over the situation. Amen? Is there anything that you need? The Bible says, my God will supply all my needs. All my needs. That's our God, and his measure is, my cup runneth over. So, next time before you speak, pause for 1 minute and think, is what I'm going to say right now, is it going to build up or is it going to break down? The words that I'm going to speak now, am I going to impart grace or judgment and condemnation? And be careful what we say. I said to Pastor Herman, the children's church, I said, what is the ceiling that's upon you that we have to lift? What's the ceiling upon me that we have to lift? Through what maybe somebody has said, something that you've read, or a comment from somebody. Because sometimes one word can limit us, but sometimes when we just come and we say, you can do it, we lift that ceiling and we can start to do unusual things, because God wants to do something in us and through us that's beyond what we can imagine. It's not entered into the mind of man. Man cannot perceive what God wants to do. When his spirit starts moving, the only thing that limits that is what we say. So I want to end with this. Go and take some time. Say, where have I limited myself through things that I've said? Where have I said things where I've limited people? And next time, before we say anything, make sure the words that we are speaking are words of light and life. If you're in a situation where there's darkness, where there's no hope, be the one to come in there. Job 22 says, you will decide and you will decree a thing, and the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. Imagine we as a congregation make a decision that from today, we start to declare the light of God's favor into this nation. I'm telling you now, the light of God's favor is Jesus himself who manifested into this world. And when he manifested, we could see his glory, and everybody acknowledged that. But we need a people to come together, one mind, one heart, and say, let's speak light and life into our children's lives, into our schools, into our governments, into our careers, into our marriages, into every area. And that light will start to expel all shades of darkness. Selah.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.